listening to another Netcast production brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. Because those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet.
Hello everyone, and welcome to yet another gaming show, the Video Gaming Netcast, brought to you by the Fancy Pants Gangsters at fancypantsgangsters.com. It's another full show this week. I feel weird having all four of us, all four hosts, together for two consecutive weeks. It seems weird.
Because it is weird.
Well, yeah. Well, thank you.
One of us could leave.
No.
I could go home.
No one can leave.
There's beer at home.
The doors are locked, except that one, which is open. But still, it's locked.
The rest are locked.
The rest are locked. You're all trapped here.
The window's open.
No, I closed it.
I can open it.
No, no, you cannot. That's Ashley Hay over there.
Hello.
The lockpick master himself, Mike Dineen.
Hello, everyone.
And new host and all-around cool guy, Ian Anderson. How's
it going? Thank you, thank you. It's going great.
Excellent. Jeff is on the console, I guess we could say. Is it technically a console? It's not really a hub. He's off to the side. You can't have a hub off to the side.
What?
Haven't you ever made a wagon wheel before?
No.
This is a wagon?
Yeah.
Who's dying of dysentery?
I will.
Okay, good.
I call dibs on dysentery.
I'll just drown when we try to ford the river.
Yeah. Anyway, so lots to talk about. We are in the post-E3 era now. It's kind of like
is this like AD?
Well, I was thinking it's more. It's kind of like Labor Day. Like they always say, you can't wear white after Labor Day. But which Labor Day are you referring to? Because we're post the E3 from this year, but we're pre E3 next year, and then that begs the question: do we want to start our E3 predictions for 2012?
No.
You don't think so? Oh, not yet. I like that was universal. No. But y'all thought about it, which I like. That's all I ask.
There's already stories about it out there, so
I'm sure.
Like, oh god.
So here's a blast from the past. Shit got hacked.
Pew, what? Pew.
No.
Welcome to our new future.
That's right.
I hacked you.
Did you?
Uh huh.
I'm
Facebook? In your head.
Oh.
I'm inside your head.
Oh.
Okay, Professor X.
Can you shave your head if you're gonna do that to me then?
Sure. Why not?
Okay.
No. Just picturing Mike with a shaved head, and it's terrifying. So, who got hacked this week? Actually, I guess who didn't get hacked
this week?
The government.
No, the government.
Not true.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. I was going to start listing them of who got hacked.
Oh, okay.
The government got hacked.
Eh.
Allegedly, the CIA got nailed today.
Was this the CIA's website or like legitimate
CIA's
CIA?
Website, from my understanding. I don't really pay attention.
But that doesn't have to do with games. We're focusing on games. This is a very focused show.
Clearly.
We have the focus of a four-year-old.
This is episode 250 here, ladies and gentlemen. We can at least focus enough for a five- or a six-year-old.
Government!
This isn't a libertarian podcast. You can't just yell government for no reason.
But I'm
no,
owner.
Then it's government. Ah.
So
Hulk smash.
So who got hacked?
Let's see here. Who got hacked? Eve Online got hacked. Minecraft got hacked. League of Legends and The Escapist all got hacked. Sores.
What's the Escapist?
It's a online video game magazine.
Jeff is really, really, really
They're very good.
Jim Sterling has it.
Escapist, yeah. Except I hate Jim Sterling's piece on The Escapist.
Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah. Do you need to go change your pants?
Apparently everybody hates Jim Sterling's piece in The Escapist. I don't understand. I actually enjoy
you
it.
You see, the thing is, the Escapist, for those of you who've never read it, it's kind of like an alt weekly for video gaming. It's very high, not highbrow, but it's very much for people that are geeks of a different kind than what you'd see in like a Destructoid or something like that. It's not quite as kind of heady as like a Gama Sutra, but it's kind of in that realm where it's like people, you know, people that are into game theory and really kind of hardcore video game nuts.
I say.
It's not, like I said, it's not as bad as Gama Sutra. And I shouldn't say it's bad, but Gama Sutra is a much more kind of hard news kind of place, but Escapist is kind of like that. So of course they weren't gonna like Jim Sterling stuff, but they did bring us zero punctuation, and for that all things are forgiven. But also we had Codemasters got hacked, who have done many games, but I will always remember them for doing the Nintendo Micro Machines game.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only game I can think of that they did actually.
They do a lot of great racing games too.
Do they? Yeah. Micro Machines.
Yeah.
Yes. Racing.
There you go.
Hell yes. And then also, you had another one that got hacked too, Ian.
No, I did.
You actually did.
Fine. Sorry.
They look very similar, so yeah. I can see why you confused them.
Yes.
Bethesda.
Just think the fountain.
That does not help me at all.
No, that does not help me.
You
at
don't
all.
Know your Bible stories?
That just makes you want to pee.
Bethesda confirms that the Brink site has been hacked and personal information could be at risk.
Brink is a terrible game.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Oh, no, I'm just...
So everyone's getting hacked. Nintendo got hacked not too long ago as well.
But it was for their own good, apparently, what Lulzsec had to say. They're like, we were just looking for holes in your security.
Well, that's initially kind of how the Xbox got hacked, too. Mm-hmm. Where, if you remember back before the whole Sony shit started, they had... it wasn't so much the website got hacked, but Stephen Toulouse, who's their head of enforcement, got his Xbox Live account hacked. And they basically said... The guy that was actually hilarious because the guy was like, okay, I proved I can hack it, now give me a job.
Mm-hmm. That's like the idea, the reverse idea of... Live free, die hard. It's like, I can hack into these systems. You need to make it better. No. Okay, then I'm going to hack them and destroy the United States. And only Bruce Willis can stop me.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy Oliphant. Bruce Willis.
Yeah, I've seen the movie.
Justin Long. Winning cast.
So that's the solution, is we need to send Bruce Willis after Lulzsec.
Yeah. Yeah, because Lulzsec is just like, we're hacking into them because we can. And they couldn't stop us. It's like, really? That's not really the best motto or way to go about things.
Well, it's a white hat kind of idea where it's just you're doing this for informational purposes and you're doing this as a way of... And did they say that they've revealed to them what they...
The vulnerability.
Yeah, what the vulnerabilities were?
No, it just says no financial data was stored on the Brink site, so there's nothing to worry about for that except for your emails and passwords.
Oh.
Was the only...
But I'm saying, they like, Lulzsec didn't contact Bethesda and say, hey, here's how you could do better?
I guess it was telegraphed by the Twitter account.
Yeah.
So, it didn't say...
Wait, a hacking group has a Twitter account?
Yeah, Lulzsec has a Twitter account that they add. They pretty much tell you who they're about to take down.
Isn't that kind of like Al-Qaeda having a Twitter account? I'm not comparing hacking to terrorism here, but I mean, it's like...
It's a little terrorist.
It's like the mafia... Fine, we'll do one less politically charged. The Mafia. Would the Mafia have a fucking...
We're about to take down Luigi.
Well, no, you need to know where the liquor's going to be at and where you can place your bets.
Did they have Twitter in 1924?
No, but if they did, they would use it.
I'm sure they would.
Would they have carrier pigeons as Twitters?
Yes. The original tweets.
Wow.
I think
that's an amazing idea. That's where they got the idea of Twitter, and using birds.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I'm sure that's exactly where they came up with it.
Assholes.
I think the big thing we see here is this is going to be happening more often. The big thing is we're hearing about it. Imagine how many times things get hacked and we don't hear about it. That's the scary part, you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
I'm kind of surprised at this point that these guys haven't tried to just take Microsoft down too.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Microsoft is just this lone one sitting there right now like...
Oh no, the security guy's like in his office pissing his pants like, please don't hack me, please don't hack me, please don't hack me.
He's like sacrificing a goat in the corner.
Yeah. Or you mean, another thing is, it's like, you know, I'm surprised that they're going after these other, like, you know, like they haven't tried to take down an Activision or an EA or anybody like that yet.
They could just be targeting anyone with weakness right now, weakness in terms of web security on those web pages.
Yeah.
And it could just be that these are the companies that have it, you know, Activision... Sounds weird to say, might actually be up to snuff in terms of their web security.
That's true.
I just don't understand about this group. It's like, eventually, if you keep doing this, you're going to get caught.
Well, and not only that, you pretty much most people are pissed at you now at this point.
You're going to get in a lot of trouble, and it's going to get worse and worse the more people that you hack, and just the idea, oh, you can't stop me. Well, sure, you can't stop me from crossing the road by jaywalking, but I could die by getting hit by a car.
Do we know if this group is based in the American? Based in the United
based
States.
Based in the American.
Based in the American.
The American Kingdom.
Yeah.
There'd be dragons over in these parts.
Yeah, no. Wow. Geography brain fart there. But in the United States.
I have no idea where they're located. Okay.
They're everywhere.
That's part of the thing, right?
I wonder if the whole thing with Sony and how high profile that got. I mean, they were talking about that on CNN. I mean, that got major mainstream coverage. I wonder if that almost made it more open season, mm-hmm. on some of these things, where you're seeing, you know, small companies like Codemasters, like Bethesda, like some of these other things.
The government.
Well, yeah. I'm sure the government gets hacked about once a month.
You shush.
Okay.
The more you know.
I can't argue with that. I've got no retort.
Why doesn't everybody hack the Swiss?
Yeah.
You know, there's all sorts
hack
of money.
Hack the planet.
Or the Cayman Islands.
The hackers
their bank
is coming
accounts
true.
There.
There you go.
No, Cayman Islands, that maybe that's what it is. Maybe Sony should reincorporate in the Cayman Islands because they'd handle their tax issues. Plus, they'd have rock-solid security.
Until the government decides to take away all their assets.
Eh. It's Sony. It's not like they have a ton of assets anymore.
Yeah.
I think it's just run on petty cash now. Yeah, and plus you can go to the beach. Not that Japan has any beaches.
No.
But
they have Godzilla in their beaches, so.
That's true.
Well, not yet, but it's
and
being
hurricanes.
Radiated.
I think there are typhoons over there.
Hmm.
Isn't that how it works? Or no, is
something.
That southern hemisphere? Is it a north-southern thing?
Again, geography brain fart for
yeah.
all of us.
Wasn't
where
it like
is
the
Japan
national
on
geography
the
yet
today?
Another, yet another meteorology show.
He had another weather show. Yaws.
Wasn't it the national geography bee today too?
I don't know.
Because I think somebody from my hometown was in it.
We're not playing
a
drinking
game.
No,
it was a spelling bee. It was a spelling bee, I think.
That was like a week ago, I thought.
I don't know. None of us are there, and none of it's video games. Although I'm sure the Wii U will have like a spelling bee game.
Click the letter.
That was a very good click sound.
Yeah, thank you.
That was very impressive. I hope the people at home. I hope the people at home recorded that. So, speaking of Asia, there's a story on Yahoo a couple weeks ago. This is a pre E3 story, but I just kind of put it in the old hopper for when we were done talking about E3. There was a recent release from Chinese prison named Liu Dali. Spent 3 years in a labor camp and claims that after a hard day's work. Breaking rocks and doing whatever it is Chinese labor camp people do, him and up to 300 of his fellow detainees were forced to basically gold farm on Warhammer and other online games for the guards. This was not an official. This is not like you are sentenced to gold farm
for the horde.
This was a side thing put on by the guards. They would then use the virtual cash for their own means, including trading it for real world money. Dali claims that he overheard guards bragging about how they could make close to $1,000 a day off the efforts of the inmates, none of which ever made its way into the hands of the workers.
Those bastards.
And they actually said that certain quotas were set, and those that did not raise enough virtual cash would be physically beaten. So
with Warhammers?
Newsflash, Chinese guards are dicks.
What?
Yeah.
No.
That's assumed.
Yes.
Whatever happened to the Chinese guards that like trained the prisoners to do Thriller?
That wasn't China. That was
was that Taiwan?
Yeah, I think it was Taiwan. Yeah, which might be part of China now. I don't know. I don't.
If
up
I
with
get arrested, I'd rather
China
go to Taiwan.
China slowly takes
yeah.
over
yeah.
lots
we,
of
we,
things
we
without
really,
us knowing.
We really suck at geography
yeah.
today.
Taiwan is not part of China. Just to clarify that, isn't it a country?
Oh my god.
Do we need to pull out a map?
I am looking this up.
Pretty sure it's a country.
Can you I think you're thinking Thailand.
Can you Google, is Taiwan a country?
Just
Google that for
and
us.
Then the laptop just slaps
no,
you.
There's Thailand. Oh, no.
God, we're stupid. What happened to us?
This is not a geography show.
Okay, everyone in this room, raise your hand if you have a college degree.
I have
yeah,
two
that's,
of them.
Yeah, that's everyone. Yeah. God.
We didn't have to take a geography class in college, though.
I took biogeography. Didn't learn
yeah.
a damn thing about the globe, though.
It does look like Taiwan is part of China.
Aha! I knew it.
How? Like, is it a country or is it a city?
It's a country. That's
okay.
Kind of owned by
I
China.
I said it was country.
Oh, it's like a commonwealth or something.
Well,
it's like just, Tibet, where they've kind of just
taken
it over.
They want them in a bet, I think.
Yeah.
For all the tea in China.
Yeah. Two.
Okay, so I'm happy that I was right that it was a country, and you were right because China has.
But it's not an independent. It's like Scotland.
But it doesn't
it's not
make
really
difference.
A country.
Prisoners are still being abused wherever the hell it was.
I think that's actually part of the tourism board. Taiwan, the Scotland of China. it's like the guy in the Starburst commercial, the Asian Scott guy. You know, he's just this Asian guy with a kilt, just standing there.
And he talks with a Scottish accent.
Yes. Except he's Scotch
Jeff,
Korean.
Do an impersonation of that.
Jeff says no.
Shaking his head. So now that we're done with old news, we got less old news. The Duke Nukem release this week.
What?
Yes, Duke Nukem Forever finally released.
No.
12 years.
12 years in the making. By all accounts, a terrible game.
Has anyone here played it?
No.
Maybe they should have spent another 12 years improving on it.
Well, here's one of my thoughts on it. I will go over it briefly without going too much on a tangent. If it takes you 12 years to make a game, chances are it's probably not going to be good. See Chinese Democracy.
That's not a game.
No, I'm just using that as an example. It took them 10 years to make that album, and it was a steaming pile of shit.
Perhaps.
Part of the reason, you've built up so much damn hype by that point, this game better give you a reach around when you're done.
I don't think there was any hype for this game at all.
It's been talked about so much.
I don't think anyone had any expectation that this was going to be good.
I think the expectation was that it was going to sell a lot of copies, but it was going to be bad. But
yeah.
It was that one campy game where people had owned. And yeah. Like I was legitimately excited for it until I read, I think it was the Ars Technica review, which it said, Duke Nukem, bad gameplay, broken gameplay, and hates women. It's like, and I read through the review, I'm like, there's nothing I want about this game now.
Yeah. There's a
nothing.
Rape room in it.
I wonder if...
Yeah,
okay.
That's ridiculous.
So,
unnecessary.
I wonder if Courtney will get it, because he was the one that was most excited
he was.
Out of all of us.
He was, but he won't, because it's Courtney.
True.
That would involve him playing a game.
Yeah. What I wonder it is...
There's a rape room?
Yes.
Wait.
Yes.
I think that was about 2 minutes and 36 seconds for
yeah,
the reaction.
There's a part in the game when women are being raped to death in it.
Technically, they're not being raped to death. They just happen to be dying while being raped.
Isn't there...
There's a question of intent.
There's a distinction there.
It's a subtle
regardless.
Distinction.
Regardless.
Is it by creatures?
Point of order. No.
Is it by humans?
Procedure.
No, it's by aliens.
Because I saw a picture on Tumblr, and I thought it was just some weird fan art thing of, like, this crazy octopus thing raping this woman.
No, that's probably, like, some sort of hentai.
No, it said from Duke Nukem.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just joking.
Bad joke. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Regardless.
We can't even make it through this show without rape.
Well, this one isn't our fault, because this is actually newsworthy rape.
Yeah.
That's true.
So,
that's pretty ridiculous.
Not that most rapes aren't worth talking. I'm just going to stop there.
Oh.
But
anyways.
But no, what I wonder if part of it is just they tried to, you know, cuz this game, you know, this game was in development for forever from 3D Realms. Mm-hmm. It was then picked up by
Gearbox.
No, but it was somebody else before
Gearbox.
Which Gearbox makes good games. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if there was, I'd be really curious to talk to the developers of that, where basically, like, how much of this was left over from the original design? Because a lot of the complaints, it sounds like, were that it was just an extremely dated, both gameplay-wise and just kind of humor-wise. Because it was deliberately shocking and all that stuff. And I think of this, and I think of why there hasn't been a Postal in forever. Mm-hmm. I wonder if the market, if, you know, God help me, the gaming market has matured past those kind of shock games.
Well, and yeah, this is what I was explaining to somebody at work today, is I think that's in there for the whole purpose of, this is a 12-year-old game, it was edgy back then, what do we do 12 years later to shock people now?
But can you imagine, like, being one of the developers or artists and having to, like, animate that?
But that's the thing. Someone came up with the idea, and that's the sick thing, to me at least. Now,
yeah.
To your point about Gearbox, from what I understand from, what's it, Randy Pitchford, who's in charge of Gearbox, what he said was that they took the game as it was and basically polished it.
Yeah.
They released it from what they got from 3D Realms.
Mm-hmm. So you could see the rape better.
Yeah. So their whole goal was to get it to the public. Mm-hmm. I would be interested to see if they knew exactly what they were buying in terms of the property, like,
they had
the content.
Well, did they not play the original 12 years ago? I mean...
Yeah, but adding a rape room is a little...
Right, but at the same
to,
time,
like,
at the same time, you had
hookers.
To go through the game. I can't really be like, oh, well, somebody else's fault that there's rape in the game, not ours, sorry. You had to know it was in there. If you were polishing it up, you know, you could have taken that shit out.
True.
But then it becomes, you know, it's that standard thing of this game has taken 12 years. You know, Gearbox had purchased it and had put their own resources behind it. clearly they wanted to get it out. I wonder if it was just a case of, we need to get this out. If we take this out, we got to start taking other stuff, and we might as well just start from scratch. And they don't. They didn't want to do that.
That may have not been a bad thing, actually.
Yeah. But you know what?
In hindsight, seeing what it's like now, that may have been okay.
True.
It wasn't like, I don't think the market was clamoring so bad. I think most of us enjoyed the joke of Duke Nukem more than the idea of it actually coming out ever, to be honest.
And that may be, but I also wonder if it was just the, we need to get this out to make any money we can. Because I'm sure they got it for, you know, fire sale prices. Mm-hmm. And they probably didn't put a whole lot of effort into it beyond the marketing side of it. So if they can just make their money back, then that's fine.
But what damage happens to Gearbox in the process by releasing this game?
I don't think Gearbox is okay, because I think the developers are somewhat insulated from that. If anyone's going to take a PR hit from this, it's 2K.
Yeah.
Which have done themselves no favors regarding their PR related to the whole review thing either.
Right. Yeah, because the PR firm for that, it is... I'm trying to find
it's
the
like
name.
Redfield, I think it's called.
I'm trying to find the name of it here. Anyways, what? Okay, that's right. Redner PR.
Redner, okay.
Basically, to sum it up, he kind of threatened journalists for, begrudging the game so much, and basically was like, "Next time we have a game to come out, we'll see who gets copies based on this."
Well, it's like so.
It's kind of like, fine, I'm gonna take my ball and I'm gonna go home. Screw you guys.
Mm-hmm. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
But it's like, as I like to call it, it was LeBron Jamesing it.
I don't know. When you send games to journalists, you're not sending them just so you'll get a good review. I mean, I'm sure there's ones that you know, has a good rapport with your company and with your games and whatnot. But for any media or journalist, it's really, I don't think, in their best interest to just say everything that they get free is good.
Right.
You know what I mean? Then people kind of figure it out, okay, well, you're just full of shit.
Right, because there's already enough people in the public who are like, oh, you're sold by, when certain people like certain games made by a certain company, people always like to accuse them of being bought out by that company.
Right, right.
The tweets themselves were, too many went too far with their reviews. We were reviewing who gets games next time and who doesn't based on today's Venom. And the other tweet was, bad scores are fine, Venom-filled reviews, that's completely different.
Well, can you give an example? Are there any examples of how Venom? What is he saying that they're
basically because
was
we
a
all
whore or something?
Basically because we like a lot of people were just this is shit. It's a terrible game. There's way too much over the top stuff in it, which is about what I said and what I wrote. Mm-hmm. It's a little over the top. This is kind of disgusting.
I think the big thing is you could have a bad gameplay, broken gameplay and all that, and get a bad score for that. But on top of that, just the overall, from what I understand, hatred towards all women.
Yeah, I mean, just the offensive nature of it. And
I think in something you were showing me, Mike, they drew allusion to GTA.
Yeah, and then there's been some talk about people who are like, trying to compare it to GTA. And again, not going to go down that rabbit hole right now.
No,
but it's, I mean,
I don't know. It just.
Yeah, but.
I mean, 45%, I think, the new study I saw, about 45% of the gaming community are women, which might not have been the case 12 years ago.
Yeah. No, not at all.
You know, so it's kind of a big deal that this game is so much more sexist. It doesn't help them.
Yeah.
And I also think that there you can do very offensive things, or I should say have very offensive things
going on.
But well, I read Jim Sterling's review on Destructoid, and he seemed, I mean, he's the one that brought up the rape room, I think most specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And his point was, in addition to all this horrible shit going on, It wasn't so much that was going on, because we've clearly seen this stuff not only in Duke Nukem games, but I mean we've had bad shit happen. I mean, look at Phantasmagoria, if you want to go that far back.
Right.
I mean, there's a rape in that.
Silent Hill.
All that. I mean, rape has been done in games before, but it all depends. What got Jim and what kind of pushed it over the edge is that it was Duke's reaction to that, and if. In Silent Hill and Phantasmagoria and all these other games, there is a clear, this is bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And he got the impression that Duke was basically like, well, It's not like that he didn't care. It was very callous and very, very shallow. And I think that was kind of the point, where it's just like, you can have bad things happening if it's the bad guys doing it, but if the good guys aren't sufficiently outraged, it really kind of makes you question the motives of putting that scene in there.
Right.
Right.
What does this add to the story? What does this add to the plot or to the character development? Mm-hmm. If it doesn't add anything, then what's the point? And if you just have a whole game that's just really sexist, that's one thing. You know, where a lot of games at least like spread the hate, you know, where it's, you know, it might be insulting to lots of different demographics, where this is to aliens and women.
And not only that, I mean, I brought it before. It's like, really, if you're going to get into that, the whole, like, this is terribly offensive, and I know a lot of people bringing up, why hasn't anybody ever reacted to a game before for their stuff? I mean, you can go through your catalog, and I can find something offensive about probably every game.
Sure.
Every game somebody owns, if you're going to go down that rabbit hole. I mean, like, I was bringing up to Laurel, there's frickin' strippers in Mass Effect. Should I be outraged about that now? You know, and this is to a different degree, and like, you know, the varying levels of this, but it's the, how offended are we going to get now, you know, retroactively to this, you know, to what's going on now.
Well, I think the big thing is you can also draw like a comparison to movies, and a lot of movies, to convey a story or characterization or anything like that, they'll show an offensive crime against, you know, a specific demographic. You know, it could be anything against women or minorities or whatever it may be, and that builds a story, and it's not necessarily saying we don't like this demographic. And from what I've heard about everything from Duke Nukem is, it's like hatred towards women. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we're showing these awful things happening to women and you're there to prevent them. It's just awful things happening and then callous behavior towards that.
Yeah. Right.
So it's kind of like almost a double hit. You're showing something awful and your character's taking a bad attitude towards fixing it. Like, whatever.
And I also think there is a bit of, and this goes across all media, all art, anything like that. You can be offensive, but people will forgive you if the art is good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I you know, going back to GTA, I mean, you can make whatever, you know, comments you want about GTA, but I think they got a little bit of a pass among the gaming community because those games were generally considered very good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Duke Nukem had been a, you know, amazing first-person shooter, then I think it would have been, okay, this is kind of offensive, but, you know, it's tempered by the fact that this just happens to also be a good game. I mean, think the fact that it was a shitty game, and like a really shitty game, on top of it being offensive, like people will forgive rape if it's well presented, which sounds horrible.
No, I understand.
But I mean, you know. But again, going back to movies, there's this great game or a great movie called Irreparable. It's an Italian movie. It's got a brutal rape scene at the very beginning. It's Monica Bellucci. I keep saying game. Beginning of the movie. Monica Bellucci from Matrix and a couple other mostly Italian films. It's brutal, but it's a very intriguing movie because it's well presented, and it, you know, and it goes into the ramifications, which you're obviously not going to get to in a Duke Nukem.
Well, or, you know, I'll even bring up Clockwork Orange.
Exactly.
For example, I mean, that's in there too. I mean, not to the brutal level of that, but it's very much implied for what you could do in the 70s as far as rape is concerned, and, you know, by all accounts, that's an artistic, really well-done movie.
But even in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, the original, I don't care about the one coming out.
No spoilers.
But there is a very harsh rape scene that comes up again in the trilogy because it is a very important part in the and it brings a whole story arc and has, again, it helps you figure out kind of who Lisbeth is.
Yeah.
The main character. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, you know, Jim had an excellent just point where, when you're responding to something, the main character, and it's not to, like, help the person or think that it's disgusting or having a reaction to it, then, there's not any point to it, especially if it doesn't have any point to the story or development of any sort. Like, it's just it's just there to be shock value, which I don't need to see that for shock value.
I think what's the most interesting part about Duke Nukem Forever, Gearbox could have probably taken the property, created a whole new game in their, let's say, Borderlands engine or whatever, an Unreal engine, who cares?
I think they use the Unreal engine.
Yeah, just use whatever engine they want and make a Duke Nukem game where it's a bunch of one-liners where you're just killing aliens, and it would have sold a bucket load of games. And you're basically kind of saying what you said, like, do you have to release it today or can you wait? And I think if they would have just taken that release, Duke Nukem Forever, really good level design, really good action in the original Duke Nukem 3D vein, it would have sold. Mm-hmm. But they released this thing from 12 years ago. It shows its age in numerous ways. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it's been in development for 12 years where the developers had to change as first-person shooters changed.
Yeah, and like I had brought up, it's like we had gone through consoles by the time this game had been announced. So now you've got to change it for new consoles, new graphics, new engines, new... I mean, just... I would have been very much okay if they had to wait another year, year and a half.
See, I remember reading the big thing about the development was the kind of president of 3D Realms. He was obsessed about always being the best first-person shooter on the market. Mm-hmm. So he would have to go and he would see, oh, they have this like health thing where instead of getting health, you just re-heal. We have to have that. Or, you know, Halo, you can only do two weapons. We have to do that. Or you can jump now. Or you can do all this other crazy stuff. And they always had to keep up with Joneses. And they never were able to release the game because of that mentality. And I think kind of reading through everything I've read so far, that's really showing in the fact that it took away all of Duke Nukem 3D.
Oh, yeah. And I think, and we'll just kind of wrap up with this, I think this will be kind of, on many levels, this will be kind of the good kind of study of how to not do game design, because not only do you have your stuff with the 3D Realms and constantly, you know, the feature creep as you know, and Bethesda up until, you know, Morrowind, they were terrible for that. The game before that came out before Morrowind, Daggerfall, sweet Jesus. There were more bugs than working code in that game because they kept trying to add shit. But not only on 3D Realms' part, but on Gearbox's part, because I got to imagine that, especially Randy Pitchford, who's kind of one of those kind of eccentric, you know, CEOs and kind of, you know, says what he thinks and is very kind of brunt about things. I can totally see that they bought this assuming it'd be a quick paycheck.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't. And I think they gambled and lost hard.
Oh, yeah.
So, which sucks because I like Gearbox's stuff. I was a big fan of Borderlands.
I mean, at this point,
when I played it,
I think at this point, what they're going to have to do is be like, let's try to pump out a Borderlands 2 and hope to God people forgive us.
Well, people will forget. That's the big thing.
No, people will. I mean, my worry was, and I brought this up online too, is that this is going to be the new case study when you have groups like, you know, like when the state of California brought their lawsuit against the ECA. This is going to be your new case study of a game. That people are going to bring up when they're like, this is why our children shouldn't play video games. This is why video games are terrible, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I'm glad that the lawsuit, that the ruling is in process right now for that, because I don't think things would have fared so well if this game would have came out 9 months ago and this would have been fresh in people's minds.
True,
when that court hearing happened.
I think the only thing we can hope for then is that Duke Nukem sells nothing.
Yeah,
well, because which unfortunately, you know, it's the number one game in the UK right now.
Well, it's UK. Who cares? But, I mean, about that?
There's five people in the UK,
and they all listen. So I guess I shouldn't. Right.
Yeah, we
love
like Neff.
Yeah.
No, he's in Ohio.
Ohio,
Mr. British.
Mr. British is in Britain, hence the name.
Neff will be in Texas soon.
Yes.
Yeah.
We know the comings and goings of all of our listeners.
Yep.
Not many people know this, but embedded into the MP3 file is a little tracking chip.
Yep.
If you put your earbuds in, it shoots into your brain.
We know where you are.
That's right. We're
Ashley watches you sleep at night.
That's how I fall asleep.
So do we want to talk about this EA thing since we're talking about PC stuff? I mean, granted, you know, Duke Nukem is a console game.
I think we need to bring it up.
Let's bring it up.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Sigh.
Let's bring some hate.
Yeah.
Come on, Ian.
So I think, you know, we're all a huge fan of Steam here.
What's Steam?
I don't. I'm not a
Steam
PC
is this
gamer.
PC service for downloading games.
But if I had a PC, I would
amazing.
Be a fan. Yeah. My brother's a fan.
So the big thing is Steam is a great service, you know, kind of by the people who may have brought us Half-Life for basically releasing
Half-Life. It's
Half-Life
run by
2.
Valve by all intents and purposes. Yeah.
And Steam was releasing games on there and probably making a buttload of money, but Steam decided they wanted to run their own, or not Steam, EA wanted to run their own Steam-like service.
Called Origin.
Yes. So they're starting to pull their biggest games, like Crysis 2, and I think the, Alice Madness.
Well, they just is flat out decided we're not releasing this, because that also came out.
See, I heard, no, that's an exclusive until, like, the 17th or something like that.
Yeah, no, they're going to be pushing, yeah, Alice, you're right, it'll be eventually on Steam, but right now it's just on Origin.
Okay.
Which, it's a frustrating thing, because I don't want to be into, like, 14 different download services. I want to use Steam. Steam rocks. It runs well on my PC. They have awesome sales. And I've bought EA properties through that. And it's one of those things where EA is not going to make me go to a different service. And I think the most frustrating part is they're still offering their games like Crysis 2 through the smaller sellers like Direct to Drive and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So
it's kind of like that if it's not broken, don't fix it.
Yeah.
Type of thing. It's just if EA is getting money for these games, then what is the point of them making their own Steam type?
Well,
other than making a few couple bucks off each customer, which would obviously be a lot of money, but not if people get pissed off and don't want to buy it.
And EA really is just becoming a money grab right now, because I know, Evan, you also had the story of their EA Sports brick and mortar stores.
Yeah,
they're also doing.
Yeah, John Riccitiello, which you are by law required to say it exactly like that.
Riccitiello.
Hello. I'm not joining in.
You're not going
to
do it.
I'm sorry.
You'll be a part of the team, guys. Yeah. No.
I'm not
a
team player. Your
banner is still drying.
Yeah, your host is still in probation.
You guys wrote
status
on there, not a team player. I'm sorry, I have to live up to the banner.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. Fair enough.
EA, they're trying to rebrand themselves. They're trying to kind of refocus, and they're interviewing CEO John Riccitiello. In addition to doing the online stuff, they're also experimenting more with more retail stuff, and that includes some EA Sports specific stores. They opened one, I think it was in the Philadelphia airport.
No, I thought it was in one of the Carolina airports, actually.
Yeah, Philadelphia or Carolina.
No. You're right.
Why?
Because Carolina is such a hotbed for sports activity with the
college sports,
that big Carolina Panthers fan base.
College sports. Listeners in Philadelphia, Carolina, I apologize. But San Francisco, LA, Chicago,
I would
New
put
York
it in Philadelphia. I have been, over the Carolinas, because yeah, Philadelphia, those people are fucking nuts.
I've been in the South Carolina airport. Mm-hmm. I think it was Charlotte. It's a fine airport, I must say.
Okay, but what are they?
Isn't Charlotte in North Carolina?
One of them.
It's
all
kinda
the
like
Carolinas.
It's kind of like the Dakotas.
If you bring it all back to us not knowing geography.
So I'm like,
all I know is the North Carolina is above South Carolina.
Somebody buy us a map. Anyway,
we should make the whole wall a map.
It will become the slowest episodes ever. Like, hang on, let's refer to the map. Yeah, okay, we can go.
So we are not in Canada. Okay.
No, the EA thing with the online stuff. Now, they've had an online download service for years. They just rebranded it Origin. Before, it was just the EA Download Manager, which was it was kind of like Microsoft Games for Windows, where before. They integrated the Xbox Live, where it was just basically a download service. And now with Origin, they're doing more Steam-like stuff. They're doing more community stuff and all that rigmarole. Them pulling Crysis is kind of odd for a couple reasons. One, Steam just did a huge promotion for Crysis, for several weeks.
Yes, I bought Crysis 1 in that promotion.
Yeah. And to me, it doesn't make any sense. You just seem spiteful if you pull it from a service. Like, I can see doing something like Alice, where it's a timed exclusive, things like that.
Right.
That makes a little bit of sense. What I've never understood, and EA is not the only one that does this. There's been a couple other companies that will do these things. Where
Activision.
Yeah.
No.
There has never been.
What? Activision did something stupid too?
There has never been a successful company-only platform.
No.
You know, Steam, it's all based on the platform, be it PC, be it a specific console, but there's never been a good company only, because that's not how gamers think. They don't like you said, they don't want 18 different download systems, and they're not going to pick a single company's setup regardless of who it is. You know, the only company I could even think might be able to pull that off is Blizzard.
Exactly.
Which would be Activision. But still, I don't understand why they'd want to do this. This makes no sense. It can't be successful. I can't imagine a universe in which this would be successful. Setting aside the whole pulling stuff off of Steam and treating them differently than Direct to Drive and Impulse, things like that. Setting that aside, I just think the whole Origin idea is a terrible one.
I think maybe they think they can get more money out of it.
Well, if you think hypothetically, so I don't know the numbers behind Origin or Steam, but if you look at iTunes, typically for applications, the application developer gets 70 cents and Apple gets 30. Mm-hmm. So if we apply that model to Steam, and Valve's getting 30 cents on the dollar, and EA'd be getting 70. In this case, they could be getting 100% of the profit.
Still, but if people are gonna be mad.
You also gotta go where the players are.
Right. If people aren't gonna buy the games in Origin, then you're not gonna be making the money. I think that's a big gamble right now. Mm-hmm. The big thing is if they try it out and it fails, I don't know if they do their brand any harm.
That may be.
It's just we're gonna be pissed off in the short term.
And it does only affect PC.
Yeah.
Which is a very small and largely neglected.
I feel like we should fist bump right now.
That's
there
right.
We go.
That's right, baby. Although I will say I will declare jihad on EA if they fuck with my Deus Ex pre-order. Okay.
That's a holy land for some people.
Yeah, Exhibit A right here, baby.
You pre-ordered it on Steam?
Oh yes.
Okay.
Back up often.
Yeah.
You're going to get this email like your pre-order has been shifted to Origin.
Yeah, I will hurt someone if anyone messes with that.
You will nerd rage.
I will. I may Hulk out.
Special edition podcast, just you screaming for half hours.
The only intelligible words will be fuck and EA.
Which, that's what I usually say every August, that's normally your shtick. Every August, that's me. It's like, fuck you, EA. God damn it.
$60 more. Oh, and then I got to buy more Madden crap?
God damn it.
I will say Steam is the devil. Just in general.
Though. No. Steam is... I wouldn't say Steam is the devil.
It's an enabler.
Steam is the temptress.
You added like six extra S's.
It's just temptress.
Yes, thank you.
Which is the devil.
No,
the devil
it's
is
not
a tempter.
Quite the devil. Activision is still the devil.
I will.
The devil is a lady in a red dress.
Don't make me whip out my theological studies on you here, buddy.
I will hurt you.
That's right. But for the love of God, don't call SWAT team on me. How'd you like that? The Eugene, Oregon police have said that a disgruntled gamer hacked their, or you know, basically social engineering hacked their 911 system and faked a murder-suicide to get back at someone that wronged him in an online game. According to Eugene police, 14 police officers arrived at the Riviera Village complex on Corliss Lane in Eugene to respond to a 9:23 p.m. emergency call. The investigators suspect the 911 caller obtained the name, address, and telephone number of a man who lived at the apartment, then used that information to retaliate against the tenant after the pair squabbled while playing an online game on their Xbox video systems. That's how you can tell it's a mainstream paper. Yeah. It's an Xbox video system. The apartment resident, a 26-year-old man who spoke to the Register Guard on condition of anonymity, Register Guard is the newspaper, said he was targeted because he refused to give another player content that he had created for a game called Fortress Craft, which is an indie Xbox indie game.
Wow, so we're getting all dickish over an indie game?
This guy was enough where he basically faked a 911 call to get the SWAT team called on this guy.
There's a phrase for that, I thought.
Yes,
douchebag.
No, that's what the guy is.
Apparently it's called SWATting, which is like the least creative name ever. It says, for the past several years, cyber criminals have settled scores with foes by SWATting, the name given to a telephone scheme that involves calling 911 to fake an emergency that would draw a police SWAT team response. First off, why does Eugene, Oregon have a SWAT team?
I think every town should have one.
Well, they should, but, you know, we're in a recession, damn it.
Zombie outbreaks.
Yeah, man.
I suppose.
And also Canadians.
I think the big thing here is Xbox Live, it's a privilege, not a right.
Well, yeah.
Bring out the banhammer.
The banhammer.
Just short of somebody actually going and murdering someone. Yeah. I think this is the most extreme response to anything I've heard. And has there been an Xbox Live
murder? No, there was somebody who killed...
probably a few.
No, when the PS3 came out, one or two people were shot because they got a PS3 before somebody else.
They were waiting in line. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
That's probably the most insane. That's
Jeff's going to kill me
when
over
they bought
my PS3.
Mostly because they were $600 at the time.
He's got that evil glint in his eye.
He wants to play MLB The Show 11 instead of 09.
He's bitter.
Well, I think the big thing is, you know, when we became 15, we can go get permits for driving. We turned 16, we can get our driver's license. There should be like an Xbox Live or PSN license. Like, do not cuss. Do not say bad things about other people. Do not be 13 and play and scream at people.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was reading a story about theaters, like movie theaters. And about this push to do theaters that are kind of getting away from all of those bad stereotypes of theaters. Theaters that are 21 and up, theaters that, you know, serve food, and they're going a little more high end, and they're doing stuff like the Alamo Drafthouse where they're kicking people out. They're just mm-hmm. they're generally trying to make a better experience for people. And I was thinking to myself, you know, we've got Xbox Live Silver and Gold. Would we pay extra if you had not a background check, but basically some sort of adulthood check where it was like Xbox Platinum, where you're only dealing, well, like you have to earn your way into it. Mm. You have to have such and such a rep.
I'm really glad you didn't call Xbox Live Adult.
That's
adult only. Where all all the vibration games on Xbox Live Indie are on there.
Xbox Live free. After Dark. But no, I'm yeah, yeah, you're right. Adult would be
for only $75 a year.
That's actually a great idea. Now that I think about that. But no, I mean, would we pay extra to know that we're only playing with quote unquote vetted people?
The mute button's really easy to get to.
Yeah, and you know what? Just because somebody, you know, age is but a number, my friend. I mean, I've played with 30-year-olds who are
I'm not saying an age gate. I'm saying they have to have a certain reputation. They have to be sponsored. I mean, you could do it like a think of it like a private forum. You know, you have to, you know, meet X, Y, and Z criteria, and you can be dropped at any time.
Yeah.
Do you think there would be a market for that?
I don't think enough people would pay extra for it because people think the $60 for Xbox Live already is steep.
Even though if they pay attention enough, they can get it cheaper.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got mine last time for like $30.
Yeah.
And Cole just won on KFan, a year subscription of gold.
Nice.
Nice.
Also, Mike, I'd like to bring up, do you play Old Dirty Prospectors on Xbox Live?
What is that?
Old Dirty Prospectors. It's the people voice you were just doing. The old man, the crazy prospector voice. Mike's lost.
I've never heard of this game, but I'm intrigued.
Wow. It's not a game. Screw it.
I got you. Yeah. I knew what you were talking about.
What is he talking
about? He was making fun of your accent.
You're playing playing a character.
Yeah, like the old dirty prospector voice.
I totally thought an Xbox Live.
We'll take this
game
offline. Okay. I'll explain it to you later when we grow up a little bit, all right?
We'll draw a graph.
Sorry, my brain hurts.
We'll draw a map.
Yeah.
No.
Along with the other map.
Point me in the direction I need to go.
No maps.
Sorry, although, I've been playing too much L.A. Noire where I can't be directed at where I'm going.
Do you doubt me? Why do you doubt me?
Now I really want to make a game called Old Dirty Prospectors.
It's just a panning game. You use your Kinect to pan.
An old dirty bastard should be the narrator and just talk like he's trying to do
that.
That's
hard because he's dead.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. God damn it.
Did you guys see that book, Go the Fuck to Sleep?
Yes.
Yes.
Samuel L. Jackson did a narration of that. It is excellent. YouTube that.
Although, your panning idea?
Yeah.
Total Wii U.
Oh, yeah. You just like take the Wii U tablet.
Okay. Here, $1 million idea vault. Right here.
Okay.
Oregon Trail for the Wii. You can pan for gold.
Yeah, but how do you shoot things?
Well, you have the scope. The tablet turns into the scope.
No.
I'm telling you.
That's stupid.
I like it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No. But the thing is, if you kill a 3,000-pound bear, you can only carry 100 pounds back your wagon.
That's right. No, it's 200 pounds.
Oh, was it 200?
It was 200
pounds. Sorry. Weaklings back in the 1820s.
Can you carry 200 pounds?
I bet I could.
Life is hard back then.
Now I'm bitching about where the Cheetos are.
Yeah, exactly.
I could carry 200 pounds of Cheetos back to my wagon.
Poppy, get me the Cheetos.
This is how I cure dysentery. Yeah. But what the Wii U doesn't have, though, by the way, is support for any sort of movie media in the form of DVDs or Blu-rays.
Which should shock no one.
That's been announced now. That's a thing. I don't know what else to really say about it.
Well done with the research.
It's a thing.
That's it sums it up.
We're not going to win any Pulitzers anytime soon.
I'd like to do a quick poll here. So how many people here, there's five of us, use your video game
Jeff's
console?
Jeff's only three-fifths of a person.
Okay, well, four and three-fifths then. Mm-hmm. So how many people here use your game console to play DVDs or Blu-ray?
I do.
Everyone here does it. Nintendo claims no one does, and it's not worth to put into a system.
You know what, though? Here's what I'm guessing their logic is. No one does it on the Wii because you can't.
Yeah.
So
if I could, I would.
Logically, they are correct.
Yeah.
They're banking on the fact that, you've got two systems.
But you know what, though? I mean, they've always been very big into the unitasker. Mm-hmm. I mean, and
Elton
you know,
Brown would be pissed.
He would. He'd be very pissed. But, you know, they've always been, this is a gaming machine. This is not a entertainment appliance.
Then why does Netflix?
Then why does it do Netflix? Yeah,
I think they just had to.
And why does it tell me the weather?
I think there was a big push. I think they kind of dialed back on that. Why does it let me have a browser?
Evan so is not watch, the Wii. Stop arguing.
So
it
people
Evan.
Can watch porn on their Wii.
I don't think it does flash.
Gross.
Well,
no, I don't think it does
you could look at pictures on Google.
Why would you look at pictures?
I don't know.
It's the 2011.
I don't know, moving porn. Because you can't on the
Wii.
You
can scroll through pictures really fast. It'd be like the old times.
Like a slideshow.
You could also page through a National Geographic really fast. We've moved on.
I need a cigarette.
We've evolved, damn it. But did you see the thing, since I actually did research on the Wii?
Oh, good.
That the specs have sort of leaked out. And I know I mentioned this last week where they said they were pretty much in the middle of the realm between PS3 and Xbox. But now there are reports coming out that it's actually more powerful than the PS3. And this is coming from the developers. Now, it could be bullshit, but, you know, I forget where I read it, but they basically brought up that it would pretty much have to be more powerful than the PS3 because simple progress in computing power says it should be more powerful than the PS3.
PS3 came out, what, 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
Yeah, I would
point.
Hope at this point it's more powerful than those.
Your goal is like, oh, we meet the PS3. Really? Like, that was out 5 years ago. That's like kind of old technology now. Like, you should be able to beat it easily.
Mm.
They had somebody from 3D Realms working on it.
My comment last week was based on some leaked stats, which apparently aren't true, so my apologies.
Well, I mean, and at this point, we don't know. We're hearing it, you know, hearsay. It's getting leaked to us. I mean, for all I know, they could be, you know.
Maybe it's just next version of OnLive.
Yeah. I don't know.
OnLive's doing a big push. Like, I'm on their mailing list because I was in the beta or something like that.
It's slightly tempting right now, actually, because they're super cheap.
They're doing pretty stupidly cheap stuff, and they're getting a lot of good games. So I'm kind of intrigued, I must say. But we skipped over a story because we were so excited to talk about the Wii U.
We had the awesome segue, and now we're gonna have a horrible segue.
Now we're chunking it. No, you're fine. It was mostly my fault.
We could just do it after the other Nintendo story.
We could. Did we have another? Oh, we did. I haven't looked at the outline at all. I put it together, but I was just going to talk about my next story when Ian was done.
Yeah.
For listeners, you know, we do actually try to do a little bit of pre-production here.
We do.
But we fail to actually produce.
Yeah. It's terrible.
Go ahead, Ian.
Do we want to talk? Well,
I think you have disillusions about what the show does.
You had a rant about the 3DS.
Yeah, so I almost bought a 3DS this weekend. I was really excited because so I have a girlfriend out in Boston. I was going to go visit, and I was going to have some time to, you know, play some handheld games. What I really wanted was Link to the Past. So I looked at the Virtual Console because that was announced for the 3DS. Well, the 3DS basically caters to Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, and Game Boy Color games. Something I'm not that interested in. I want to play Super Nintendo games, and they're only releasing Super Nintendo games in the form of these 3D remastered games that are very slow to come out. My whole rant is, why is it not at parity with a Wii Virtual Console? I can understand not having Nintendo 64 stuff in there, but a Super Nintendo...
You could do N64.
Yeah, oh, you should be able to. You should be able to. But Super Nintendo should be basically simple to do on 3DS. Mm-hmm. So I don't know why they don't have that. If they would have that parity of the Virtual Console between the Wii and the 3DS, where I could even transfer purchases back and forth, mm-hmm. I would have a 3DS today. But I don't. It's like complete failure on Nintendo's part to make this system interesting.
Meanwhile, Sony.
Yeah, Sony, it's like the Vita is basically going to be pre-ordered because all those PSN games I have will play.
Mm-hmm. Or the PSN, PSP games. You're going to have some games that you can just plug the damn thing into your PS3 and rock it right there.
And it's one of those things where, like, for me, if you look, like, PlayStation seems to be forward technology. Nintendo kinds to be the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my rant.
You remember back when the Wii was still called the Revolution and we were still trying to figure out what it was, and the one prevailing rumor that made the new Nintendo system interesting, at least to me, was that supposedly at launch, every Nintendo game ever released is going to be available for it. That turned out to be a vicious lie.
Yeah.
Horrible, dirty, dirty lie.
And I still don't understand...
Where was my bad news baseball?
Why they're not putting out more and more of these games? Because, like, they're trickling out. They're getting, like, one or two releases a week.
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you have, you know, thousands
I'm sure 8-bits is not that hard to master into a... modern console.
And if you make the argument, like, look at, like, Bad News Baseball or any of those games that only four people give a shit about.
That seems to be my, you know, my game collection.
Well, and I, you know, I'm the same way. I've got my own niche shit. Mm-hmm. You know, you can make the argument, say, oh, we don't want to oversaturate the market. You don't want to push out too much because then it confuses people. Fine. But all of those old games that nobody gives a crap about, push them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? No one's fighting over, you know, Maniac. Well, Maniac Mansion's a bad example. But because people would actually fight over that. I'm trying to think of it like Lolo. The Adventures of Lolo. Okay.
Yeah.
No one's really clamoring for that game. So it's like, why not just push out, like, you know, 50 games a month?
And make them good ones. Don't just shit out, like, you know.
They don't even have to be good.
They would still make
just
a profit.
Get the games out there. Get the games that no one cares about. Get, you know, get all of those, you know, really, you know, B and C level games.
Because I need Yo-Noid and the 7-Up game on NES today.
Yo-Noid was actually a fun game.
I would play those.
See, niche games.
The second best product placement game ever was Yo-Noid.
What's the first?
Cool Spot for the Game Boy.
Oh, yeah.
That was a fantastic game.
Whatever happened to the spot guy for 7-Up?
It turned to 1992.
Most companies don't have a cartoon unless you're a cereal.
The Noid, why is that gone? I want that back.
He did come back briefly.
Because Domino's has new pizza.
Cheetos, still rocking Chester the Cheetah.
Yeah, he's cool. He's different.
Why is he different?
He's like a puppet now. He's not a cartoon. They've evolved him, where the other
ones... Well, then evolve them.
You can't evolve the Noid.
Yes, you can.
He steals pizza. That's it.
You can't evolve a dot.
Yes, you can.
You could make
single-celled organisms evolved into multi-cell organisms.
But then he's not the dot anymore. Then he's the blob. Yeah. And you don't. No one wants the blob.
See, there you go.
Logo.
You could have de-blob. You know, you could have done some product placement with 7-Up there.
That's a terrible idea.
Oh.
Yeah,
you're an idiot.
Oh yes, but fishing license. That's a great idea.
Hey, don't blame me for that.
I like that idea.
There's Brainiac to my right here.
I think the most frustrating part about it too is it makes. I think the kind of the discussion here is we're all willing to pay for these games. We're all willing to give someone a couple bucks, you know, up to $10 for a game, but they almost make piracy easier, which it should never be. I'm here with cash in my wallet saying, I want to give you money, but there's no one to pay it to.
I've got an NES emulator on my phone. I can get damn near any NES game ever, okay? The coding's been done.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's not hard.
Yeah. Just put it in iTunes and let me buy the game for a buck a piece.
Yeah. If you're concerned about money... Make it a subscription service.
Yeah.
Be like Nintendo Old Farts Club. Okay? Yeah. And you
or
have...
Nintendo Old School. Just old
there
school.
There you go. I like my Old Farts Club, but you know, whatever.
It smells smelly.
Yeah.
It smells smelly.
Yeah, you could do it like... what was that game? That free game service? That was a...
GameTap?
GameTap.
Yeah.
Do it like GameTap, where there's like 60 games at any one time that are available.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, for a regular subscription cost. People would jump on that shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
you're right. It's pure profit at that point. Because, you know, the money's been paid for. The coding's done.
Right.
At worst, you get an intern to do it for a week to finish, you know, to make sure it works with the Wii. And that's it.
Yeah. And creates jobs, people.
Yeah.
Bring America back.
And then they might be able to make a profit on the 2,600 copy VT.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, because I had like about a good dozen games that I got off the virtual console on my Wii before I got rid of it. And yeah, it was just like, I was pissed that there wasn't other stuff on there.
No.
Like Bad News Baseball.
That's actually one of the few sports games I liked.
Oh God, I still play that game all the time.
So, we want to wrap up our stories here with the story we skipped over?
Sure. So, did you guys know that there's a War of the Worlds game coming for the PSN and Xbox Live Arcade?
Who's making it?
Other Ocean Interactive.
Oh, them.
Those guys.
Yeah.
Who?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Other Ocean Interactives. I don't.
I nod like I care.
Those one
as
guys.
As opposed to Ocean Interactive?
No, they're the other Ocean.
Oh. Didn't they make a RoboCop game?
I don't know. It's possible.
God help me, I think you're right.
Is that the?
How do I know that?
That isn't the RoboCop versus Terminator game, was it?
No, it was like RoboCop.
By the way, why isn't that a movie yet?
Because nobody will touch RoboCop.
Okay, but Freddy versus Jason, I need a RoboCop versus Terminator movie like yesterday.
No. That doesn't even make sense.
Even with Peter Weller in it. You can take a break from the History Channel.
He's teaching, so.
Well, so is the guy from Bad Religion.
Focus, Pinky.
So there there was talks that there was going to be a big treat for the game as the narrator. And can you guys guess who it's going to be?
Ian.
I know the answer, so I don't feel like that's fair.
Okay. I know the answer, too.
Oh, yeah. I guess you guys all know the answer.
You didn't send us the link.
Yeah. We did all read the story before the show.
I'm pretty sure there's an email in my inbox saying, no, blah, blah, blah is narrating.
Yeah. And Ashley, now, normally, it is a safe bet to assume we didn't prepare for the show.
Yeah.
I know. I don't read your guys'
Leonard
stories.
Leonard Nimoy.
I don't read your guys' stories. So it's Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh, sir.
Sir.
Oh,
he's a knight.
He's also a captain.
By what country?
England.
Oh, well.
Where
he is from.
Just but he's from France, though. I thought.
No.
Doesn't he have a vineyard in France?
No. You, don't have,
you can have a vineyard in France.
You're thinking of the characters.
I know. I was purposely doing that.
Oh, yeah. Sure you were.
Sure. So,
I was also going to say that he owns a mansion where he teaches gifted people how to use their powers, too, but...
Oh,
that's actually true, though.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's a great man.
Yeah.
Good
and then
people.
He also did a play with the doctor as well.
He's also on an animal farm once, too.
All right. Everyone check your Wikipedia for the rest of these jokes.
So, basically, the game will be based off the TV series that was, what, in the 70s? No, not the TV series, but
the
movie? Movies. The movie.
Movies for War
movies.
Of the Worlds?
Yeah, from the 50s.
Yeah.
Not the Tom Cruise one.
Why am I thinking the TV series?
You're thinking V.
I am thinking V. Anyways.
Telepathy. It's a great thing.
So Patrick Stewart was very excited to be the narrator for this game coming out. And he is quoted saying, "As a young boy, I remember watching The War of the Worlds so many times I was quoting the lines. The alien invasion both terrified and fascinated me, and the movie has... stuck with me since then. Now being part of this project will provide a new way for gamers around the world to experience a fresh new take on a classic." So
is Patrick Stewart just another one of those closet nerd people?
Oh, he's less of a closet. Yeah. He's just a flat out nerd.
Yeah. He's in almost every nerd
it's
franchise.
It's kind of like one of those things. It's like
except
certain,
for Star Wars.
Just one of those. It's like one of those certain people, kind of like Nicolas Cage and
Kurt Schilling.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Kurt Schilling when he makes a fucking game versus talking about making a game.
Oh,
his company made games.
No, they haven't.
Someone's
yet.
A little bitter about that. I think
he's a Red Sox.
Oh, I'll wear that hat next time.
Sorry, but fuck the AL East. All right. So
I don't know. I have to. I'm going to try to redirect here.
Focus.
Sports.
It also, on this article from Destructoid, it had a few of the images from the game, which looks pretty decent. I don't think I've ever seen the movie. I think I've seen bits and pieces.
It's a good movie.
I've heard good things. Didn't they try to remake it at one point?
They did. They did. Tom Cruise and Dakota Fanning and some black guy, I think. Wasn't Will Smith in that movie?
No. You're thinking Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
You just assume.
No, what? What was that? I'll bet you $10 there's a black guy in World War of the Worlds.
Yeah, but it was just
Will
funny.
Smith is not in every movie.
No, he's every black guy.
He's in Men in Black.
It was Independence Day.
Yeah, he was in that too. Yeah.
Which would make sense why he would get confused with War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
Just like I got confused with V. And see?
So there you go.
Evan and I are in sync.
Here's my problem with
scary.
The War of the Worlds games. If they make it based on the 50s, the climax is going to suck. I mean, if they make it based on the story at all. What I wish they would have done is they would have made it based on the book, because then you'd have like Victorian-era cavalry marches against alien UFOs, which, to me, I'm a little tingly just
that'd
even
be like,
saying it.
That's like steampunk.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's basically steampunk. If you want like good proto-steampunk, read H.G. Wells.
Well,
there's your book tip for yet another gaming show.
Yet another book show.
Even if, I mean, I don't know enough about this game to say that yes, it's only based on the movies. I assume it is, and I'm assuming that they're just forgetting that the remake ever happened. But maybe, hopefully, they put in some stuff from the book. I mean, why not?
They probably will. I'm more interested. Maybe it's just because I'm playing a lot of Echo Bazaar and I'm just in that mode.
Maybe.
But you know, it's I just want English cavalry marches.
I feel like,
speaking of that, here's a little tidbit because I've been reading. He also does a voice in The Sims Medieval.
I knew that.
I did not. I haven't played it, so.
I also feel like sci-fi movies or series are really hit or miss when it comes to endings. Like, they're either really good endings or they're like, really, I watched, you know, 2 hours for this, or really, I watched 30 episodes for this.
Piranha 3D had a great ending.
Is that sci-fi? That's horror.
Piranha 3D. Giant piranhas. Is that's not sci-fi?
That's horror. No, that's horror.
No, that's it's, awesome.
It's, yeah. It's sci-fi horror. No. You get to see a 3D Jerry O'Connell dick.
Oh.
It's floating. It's not attached at the time.
The one who's the one who's not married to Rebecca Romijn.
No, he's married to her.
Jerry, what's his brother's name? Is that Casey?
I don't know. Casey
the
who?
One, the one who was in Dude, Where's My Car? That's his brother.
I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I remember three people from Dude, Where's My Car. The dude from 70s Show, the dude from American Pie, and Hal Sparks. That's the only people I remember from that movie.
Oh. The main bully guy.
Yeah, no, I have no idea. No.
Oh, you guys fail.
I haven't watched that
movie. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not up on my literary or my movie classics.
My literary classics, or my literary Dude, classics. Where's My Car?
I wonder if they ever did a novelization of that movie.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome.
Dude.
Just huge, just like, yeah.
Dude.
It almost looked like an E.E. Cummings poem, I think, after a little while. Wow, we got super literary towards the end there.
Yeah, apparently.
Anyway, I just had a fantastic idea for a game, and we'll use this to focus into one of the games we're going to talk about. You mentioned V, which is one of the best.
You mentioned V.
Well, I mentioned V. Well,
I thought about it.
Which was one of the best worst sci-fi series from the 70s. One of the best series from the 80s is a show called Alien Nation. And the basic idea of this was that aliens had come down, but they were kind of like a slave people.
So they tried that. It's called District 9.
No, they're not slaves.
Well,
they
became slaves, but I'm saying the aliens themselves, they were worker people.
They're like a slave nation.
Sort of. So basically the kind of gimmick behind Alien Nation is that all of the aliens have now integrated into American society.
So ugly Americans.
So they live.
Yeah, except
they
a lot
live
better.
Is a great movie.
No, but this isn't sort of any sort of. There's no nefarious purposes. This is basically it's like an immigrant story.
There's
just
no
they
political
to be
message.
Aliens. There is, but it's more of, like I said, it's more of an immigrant story than a takeover message. But and the TV show was about it was a cop show and it was a human and an alien cop. Like, how cool would that be doing that? You know, a sci-fi thing with like an L.A. Noir kind of style. Like, I've always wanted. I love supernatural cop shows. I don't know why. I'm really excited for this 15th precinct that's coming out. If it ever fucking comes out,
you should watch Torchwood. Maybe
I love Torchwood.
Oh, okay.
Torchwood is awesome.
Yeah, but I'm talking like I want like a traditional like procedural Law and Order style cop show that just happens to be involving
have aliens
or fantasy stuff.
Do they look like aliens or do they look like humans?
In Alien Nation,
yeah,
they're mostly human. They're all bald and they have kind of like speckles on their head.
It's like a Star Trek alien where they just throw a bunch of wrinkles and speckles. And there you go, Cardassian.
Yeah. So it's a great series. I recommend finding it. I don't think it's on.
I've not seen it on Netflix.
I don't think it's on Netflix, but it's very good. But I want the Alien Nation game, damn it.
Very nice.
That would be cool.
L.A. Noire, I think we've all played it now.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I played it before I came, actually, here.
Here's the strategy that I was told, and I'm trying it now, and it's actually working out pretty decently for me. Play each story. Just play a story, like, or play a mission. And then put it down, and then come back to it tomorrow, because it's one of those games. Like if you try to sit down and
it's kind of monotonous.
It gets boring.
And I really do not like the driving in it.
Oh
no, the driving sucks.
The driving is horrendous. And my brother mentioned, well, it's not as bad as GTA. I'm like, yeah, but in GTA you were supposed to run over people and things.
Right.
So this you get in trouble and penalized.
You don't
for
get
it.
In trouble per se. You just get yelled at and deducted a few bucks.
That's kind of being in trouble.
The game's engine, you know, is rendered to where it wants you to not do that.
Yeah.
But you can bypass that altogether and just be like, oh, you partner, you drive, because you're not doing anything anyways. So.
But then you don't get the street crime and you don't get the landmarks.
I'm okay with that.
Well, I'm just saying that's the handoff. Wait till you get to Vice, the Vice desk, because you're dealing with shit on opposite ends of the map. Like it's literally like a 20-minute drive. In between places.
That just seems like a waste of game. And who is the guy who plays Cole, the main guy?
I can't remember.
He's on Mad Men. Yeah. I don't know the actor's
He's
name.
He's on Mad Men. Okay, because I was going to say he looks really familiar.
Most
and his
of
voice
the people from Mad Men are in the game at some point.
And I couldn't remember who he was. But the interrogation is okay. I mean, basically, you just it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be.
In the beginning, it's not. From what I'm told, is it gets much more difficult the farther you get into the game.
I don't know. I think you need to play.
You can attest to that. If the interrogation gets any more difficult,
it gets a little fussy, I would say.
It's like a baby. Small child needs a diaper change, maybe.
Yeah, I talked about this last couple weeks when we talked about this. You know, the air interrogation, it seems very. It's very precise, but it's not always clear, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
that's
because.
Kind of like real life.
Because I feel like sometimes.
Real life sucks.
I could have. You know, okay, well, I they're lying. Okay, here's my evidence that I'm going to present to them. It's sometimes it feels like I could present one or two examples and they would both be right. But if you pick one that's not most right, like the multiple choice shit in school where it's like, well, that's not the most correct answer, then it's like, oh, I'm sorry, now you have to do this all over again. You're
no,
like, really?
It's set up like an old PC game where there is a certain tree it wants you to follow. And if you do not follow that tree, then...
True, but the problem is going to what your point was, is they punish you for it. In those old adventure games, you would do it and it'd say, okay, this didn't work. But you weren't, okay, now you've moved past this. Now it's like you get one crack at it, otherwise you got to reload. And I think that's the most frustrating thing with these
Sierra games.
Exactly. Well,
that's what they would do is if you didn't do it right, oh, you're dead.
Well, there's a difference between dead and if you use the wrong item on something, it says, okay, that doesn't work. So you can try a different item. You know, that's all interrogation, all those interrogations are. It's using inventory, you know, on dialogue trees. That's all it is. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess that was just that and driving were my kind of biggest complaints. But yeah, it's one of those games that I only want to play for an hour at a time, if that. And then I'm like, okay. I already looked for evidence and did this. You know, it's kind of, if I don't know, maybe it's because I'm still pretty new to the game, but it seems really redundant so far. I don't know.
I'm getting the same feeling. Like, it's pretty, it's very kind of, I know what I have to do before, you know, it's okay. Make sure you don't hear any more music. Make sure you look at every damn thing and wait for the vibrations. Okay, got it. Kind of know what's going on. I mean, I did a mission last night where it was just like they try to make you think it's one way, but I kind of figured out very early on that is not how this was going to play out the way they present it in the beginning. And it turns out, gee golly, I was correct.
Yeah.
Are you talking the whole homicide desk?
No, this is one in traffic.
Oh.
That they try to make you think that it's, they try to pull the whole Law and Order BS where, you know, this is how we're going to present it, but this isn't how the episode will end.
No.
Well, I think the thing you guys hit right on was the black and whiteness of the game. The fact that if you get the answer right or wrong, there's no difference. Where if you have a couple okay selections, the story should be able to work with those and have a lot of that gray area. Like, if I say someone's lying and I present good evidence but not great evidence, it should still be like, hey, you got this a half right. Instead of being an X, it's like a circle or something, right? Like, you didn't excel. You didn't get the best answer.
But maybe you still move on and you still have a chance to get better with it instead of just start over or you fail.
I just wish there was no feedback in terms of if you were right or not. I mean, I think of probably one of my favorite dialogue systems would be Mass Effect. And it's like, you can talk yourself into a corner, you know, not much difficulty, and you can play a conversation completely wrong.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But there's that doubt that was always how that conversation was going to go.
Yep.
You know, so it's like, it was just kind of inevitable that was what you were going to do. But the only clues you had was basically how they reacted.
Yeah.
And the fact that you have all these audio clues and your score at the end of the interrogation, all this stuff, it's basically just highlighting how much you fucked up.
Yeah, I would really like it. So instead of being like, you got this right, and these two wrong, it'd be like, this is what happens. And all the kind of improvement goes on behind the scenes. And at the end of the mission, you get your overall score.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, I was going to say, what I wouldn't mind, too, is if they're going to do another one of this, almost do it in a tree where it's just like, okay, So you screwed up this mission. You didn't get to catch the bad guy. You are now on this different path.
Ooh.
Or this different mm-hmm. case.
Kind of like
now.
Heavy Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, so you didn't quite, you know, I think there's a lot of, I don't, games like that too. It's like, oh, you failed the mission. You only get like two or three fails before. You know,
yep.
It's,
wait until
sorry,
you get
Charlie.
Wait until you get to the homicide desk, because mm-hmm. there's a bit there that could have been a very cool if they didn't play it the way they did it.
Yeah.
And it will, and it's one of those where it's kind of like what you're talking before, where it's like, oh, you figure out what the ending is, but you're forced along this path. It's like 10 times worse on the homicide desk, and you're going to realize it fairly quickly how it's going to end, but you can't go there.
Right.
And I'm totally with you. I think, you know, but the counter argument with that is that's a lot of motion capture they have to do. And that's
no,
a lot
and
of
I
work.
Understand that. And like we had said before, I mean, it's a great innovative way of use of technology. I think that took away from gameplay, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, even my brother, before I started playing, he goes, I just suck at the interrogations, and I know exactly what to say, and I know who the bad guy is or who the killer is, but for some reason, I can't fucking
you
get
know
to
what?
That. And Cole says the same thing. He's just like, yeah, the interrogations are hard.
I still haven't gotten one wrong. And I'm, like, halfway through traffic, and I've still yet to screw up one. It's... I just, for me, it's looking at them and being like, no, you're lying. Or I'm doubting you. Like, and it's, I don't know.
The first one I got wrong because I thought maybe if I just did doubt, that would be like the neutral.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, you know, I couldn't go.
Tell me more.
It couldn't be like yes or no. So I was like, well, let me do doubt because I want to see how this is going to play out. Because
yeah.
I knew she wasn't lying, but I wanted to see if I could get more information. And then she got all pissy at me, and I was like, I didn't say you were lying. I just wanted more information.
What's funny about that is that I love his reactions to it. It's like, you put doubt, and he starts screaming at the person.
I hate that. It's like, the second you imply that they're lying, he immediately goes from like zero to really pissed off. Like, there's a scene, again, in the traffic where, you know, you're talking to this guy very calmly, and then you call him on a lie, and he basically says, tell me the truth or I'll break your fucking skull. It's like, where did that come from?
Yeah, and it's just so, I'm sure that comes from his military background, but
still, he just goes into this like freaking Jekyll all of a sudden, and then
yeah.
And then immediately he's like, "All right, thank you for your time.
May God have mercy on your soul or something." He says, but it's just like it should just be a lie or truth. If the doubt is not neutral, then
the problem with that though is that, you know, lie, you've got to have something to back it up. You've got to have some sort of circumstantial evidence or.
Or they should have more contextual sensitive options. You know, you can't always necessarily doubt, but it's like press for more information. Like
right.
We don't think necessarily that they're lying, but they're holding something back.
Sure.
And just have
use
it really,
violence option too.
Yeah, yeah. threaten violence and just see if you can evoke different things. You know?
Yeah. I don't know. He got so mad and mean when I said doubt and I was like, oh no, did I press lie? No, I didn't press lie. I pressed or square. Not triangle. Oh, it was really irritated.
That sometimes you have to doubt them, even though you know what they're saying is completely truthful, but you have to doubt them just to get more information.
Yeah, it's a half truth.
Yeah.
No.
And the other downside with that is I'm seeing this more with the lies, like when you catch them lying, is you don't know what they're lying about until you accuse them of lying.
Yeah.
It's like, where were you last night? Oh, I was home. And then...
what were you doing at home?
Well, and then it's like, you're lying. And then it's like, you're lying. You were actually... or it's something like you had... he brings up like this third thing that never come up in the first part. And that's always my biggest problem between the doubt and the lie, because that's always the hardest distinction.
Right.
It's like, yeah. Can you know what... they're referring to, because sometimes they'll do like the super open-ended thing and you don't know, it's like, yeah, they're technically true, but you know what you said was correct, or what was, you know, the last thing you said, because I'm always in that role-playing game dialogue mode where the last thing they say is always the relevant bit. You know, so you have to, you always look at the last sentence and then do your answer from that,
right?
But meanwhile you're actually responding to something that they said at the very beginning.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. Mine's ultimately is all based on face. That's what I.
Yep.
I don't even.
Which is fine.
I don't even pay attention to
what
they're saying at this point.
Which
now.
Is fine until you get to the doubt versus lie, because they can very clearly be
doubtful and lying. I mean,
it's the same face.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
Yep. Like, I think the big thing is, do you have any evidence? Mm-hmm. You have to also like keep a track of what's in your evidence file, mm-hmm. what you can push out against them, and if you have nothing, you basically have to delve and hope that they give you more.
I actually do find myself writing notes at certain points in this game. Oh.
Nerd.
No. You could use the Wii U feature. No, is it a Wii U feature or a 3DS feature where you can take game notes or something like that?
I'm sure they'll add it to the Wii because it's touch screen. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have the laptop next to me and I'm in OneNote just typing things like...
I think what the big thing for me with the game is it's crazy cool new technology. And we can see that definitely the first game using it has a few rough edges.
Sure.
And what I'm excited is for what they can do when they can polish a game engine and refine their mocap process so they can bring in more video and have more of a expansive tree.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
I just want a linear game. I think they just made the biggest mistake by making this open world because it's an open but empty world.
Oh, I'd
like
love a
linear game.
There's
nothing to
do. If it was just a series of instances in different scenes where rather than have to drive to the house to interrogate the wife, you just mm-hmm. go to the house and there's the wife. I would love that if it was just basically like an episode of Law and Order where the only time you see him drive is when they're telling you the story.
I want
the
next LA Noir to be episodic.
Yeah, totally.
Because, I mean, you look at the DLC cases, they don't integrate those into the desk, as far as I know.
Yeah, they do.
They're
do
associated they? To a yeah. desk, but mm-hmm. I don't think they become part of the main story.
If you download the case and then play the game, they're integrated into the single-player game.
Oh, are they?
Well, yeah. No, they are, but, like, I downloaded... Well, I suppose since I downloaded a traffic case... But I'm past traffic.
You can go back.
But
and
if
play
I started
it.
A new game, it would be working. Okay. Yeah. But crazy. I still think it should be episodic.
Yeah.
And just release it over time, and do it all DLC. I think that would be a better way to go. But mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Any other games we've been playing here that we want to talk about here? Because we're getting long again.
No.
Leon's getting larger. I did start playing The Witcher again, and I forgot how much I enjoyed and hated that game. I enjoy it a lot, but it's a very buggy, not buggy, but just very unpolished game, which makes sense because it was made in like the slums of Czechoslovakia.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's somewhat, but I did get my first porno card though. So
thumbs up.
Bully for
there,
me.
There you go. I've been messing around with Dynasty Warriors Gundam and it's definitely,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I was like, oh, it's going to be kind of cool because it's based on, you know, the whole Gundam Warrior thing. And it's like...
Yeah, I played a little bit of that.
And it's like, oh, yeah, this game is made in 2007. It kind of plays like it was made in 2001. And it's a hack and slash like every Dynasty Warriors is. There's nothing different about it at all. Like, the menus, everything. This is a Dynasty Warriors game
mm-hmm.
that just has Gundam Warriors on it.
After going on my 3DS rant, I dusted off the DSi and I started playing Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story, which is a very interesting game mechanic in the fact that you basically have to control two characters in Mario and Luigi at the same time, or Bowser. So basically they're mapped, you know, Bowser's mapped to the X and Y buttons and Mario and Luigi are mapped to the A and B buttons.
It'd drive me insane.
It did for me at first, but I'm 8 hours into the game now.
Wow.
Mm, yeah, not playing that. I think I added about 5 hours since I came back to it. So
nice,
big chunk of time.
Nice.
Well, all right.
There you
go. Anything else? Nothing.
I don't. You just want me to bring the Dance Central, don't you?
No.
I want you to.
Well, then what were you?
I was just trying to psych you out.
I think Evan's pretty anti the Dance Central idea.
I'm against me dancing. The rest of it, I don't give a shit.
The rest
you might have won in points, but if anybody was recording that and would have seen me dance and you dance, I would have won.
You know what? The game told me I won, so...
Flailing only counts because you're hitting every single spot that you're supposed to.
You know what?
That's different.
You know what? I won, but you know, it's kind of like in baseball. The other team might have played a better game, but I put up the most points, so...
Yeah.
I win.
He's got you there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know I can dance, so it's okay.
Anytime you want to have a
rematch. I also had drank, I think, a bit more than you had that night.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was driving home.
Yeah.
Weren't you home?
Well, yeah.
But
we were at my house. Central.
But he was driving. Laurel was not.
Yeah.
And Cole was driving me. So Laurel, the girls got drunk.
So Cole and Laurel? I'm very confused.
I said
Cole
was driving me.
Cole is a boy, you see.
So the girls got drunk because Laurel and I were not driving. so we could get drunk. Mm-hmm.
Everyone be safe. That's so, all that matters.
So we had DDs.
So is Taiwan a country?
Are you thinking Thailand?
I think so.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Tibet?
One day we will buy a map and we will learn something about the world
so
around us.
Where does Thai food come from?
Thailand.
Thailand.
But what, yeah. About
Taiwan?
What about
maybe both.
So. No, Thai food is Thailand.
Taiwanese.
Taiwan is Thai fighters, I think.
What about
yeah,
or
something?
I've heard that before.
Is it Thai fighters? Yeah. And cheap plastic, which might explain why the Thai fighters are such shit.
So what about bow ties?
That's from the
Tibet.
The Dutch.
The Dutch.
Tibet.
Wow.
Tibet. I love it.
I think that's a good enough sign as I need to take off. That was geography major Ashley Hay there.
Thanks for listening, everyone. And just so you know, we have our Palin Bachman shirts in stock now. We
that
got a bunch
true.
New, so check out the store. If you don't know what they are, go and look at them because they're funny. And they're more appropriate now that Bachman has officially stated that she is running for president.
Oh
yeah! So
it's the end of the show. Let's not talk about it.
So
government.
So yeah, check out the store and thanks again for listening. As always,
and that that link is shop.fancypantsgangsters.com. Also, big thanks to Mike.
Thank you, everyone, again for listening. Make sure to check us out online as well. You can look us up on Facebook, Yet Another Gaming Show on there, or Fancy Pants Gangsters. You can also follow us on Twitter at YAGSFPG or the main line at Fancy Pants Gang.
And also big thanks to Ian.
Thank you very much, and I apologize to anyone for any territory, state, or country that we may have misplaced or slandered in the show. I apologize from the bottom of my heart.
Wait, so it was your turn to watch where we put Taiwan?
Yes, and I failed.
Oh, my God. I'm never putting you in
rookie
charge.
Rookie mistake.
I'm never putting you in charge of the Pacific again.
I have the show notes from last week. I have no maps.
I'm gonna,
you know, I failed.
I'm gonna
never
go,
playing Risk with you ever.
Yeah, don't. I hate it.
I'm going to go watch the Countries of the World song from the Animaniacs to reacquaint myself. I used to know that song completely. I had memorized the entire song. And I probably could still do most of it, but I'm not going to because I'm not your dancing monkey.
Oh, but you will be.
You will be.
When you play Dance Central.
Thank you guys very much for listening. Mike will not be here next week.
No.
So we might have a super secret special guest on here. Although
Courtney?
Courtney will be our special guest. So just stay tuned for that. Thank you guys very much for listening. Thank you for supporting us as always and getting a lot of good retweets and things like that when we put out the episodes. So keep up the good work, all of you guys. And again, thank you much for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Steam is the temptress.